Good morning, I'm Holly Howard from the California STD Control Program, and I'm just going to start off right off the bat to say you're going to see a lot of similarities between our project and New York's and some differences, and so it'll be interesting to compare the two. I'm going to talk today about an intervention that we performed in partnership with a really large pediatric clinic last year using a rapid quality improvement methodology called LEAN to improve their adolescent chlamydia screening rates. So as quick background, we all know that chlamydia screening rates are low in primary care settings, especially among adolescent patients, and engaging the primary care sector in public health priorities like chlamydia screening has been challenging. Traditional clinical QI methods usually require like 6 to 12 months to test and institute new protocols, which is and can be a really demanding commitment for really busy clinical practices, especially primary care practices that have a lot of competing priorities. More rapid QI methods have been used to improve process quality and efficiency in a number of other settings like the auto industry in Japan, and more recently in the U.S. healthcare industry in some big hospital systems. And so our question was, can we use this more rapid QI successfully to help us both engage and improve chlamydia screening in primary care? So we target our effort to a very high priority community and clinical setting. Fresno County is a large conservative county in California's Central Valley with a population of about 950,000 people. The county has high overall STD morbidity with especially high rates in youth, and in fact the second highest chlamydia rate in the state among 15 to 19 year olds. Fresno additionally has high teen pregnancy rates, it has high poverty, and many areas designated by the federal government as being medically underserved. The Community Regional Medical Center is in the heart of Fresno County. It's a large hospital system and the primary safety net provider for California's Central Valley. It has the third busiest emergency department in the state. CRMC is a primary training site for the UCSF Fresno Residency Medical Education Program, with 40% of graduating residents staying to practice in the valley. And the Children's Health Center, which was the location of our QI intervention, is CRMC's large pediatric outpatient clinic with about 60 staff that sees a little over 6,000 patients in 20,000 visits annually. About 54% of these clinic patients are aged 11 to 20 years old, and 96.5% of all visits are funded by Medicaid. So we offered the clinic training and project support in the Lean Rapid QI methodology, which is a QI strategy that really prioritizes streamlining services and to reduce process inefficiencies through the rapid testing of very small system level changes. And we hosted a 5-day on-site event called a Kaizen in Lean terminology in September 2015 that occurred as the clinic was going on in process. The intervention emphasized a whole team approach, and the clinic's QI team for the project included staff from all levels and duties. We didn't provide any funding to the clinic to incentivize their participation, though we did give their IT administration about $4,000 to help us produce some data reports for the project. We provided a national healthcare QI expert from the same organization that New York used, Public Health Population Health Improvement Partners, to facilitate the week's event, and that was courtesy of the California PTC's National QI Training Center. And we brought a team of subject matter experts from the State Health Department and other partners to support this process. Finally, we also offered participating clinicians American Board of Pediatrics MOC Part 4 credit, which was supported by AAP, and we worked with AAP's KEDA system as well. And our team, though, in our case, supported the administration of that process and the chart abstraction. So prior to the on-site event, we worked with the clinic leaders to develop the QI aim statement, which was to increase staff capacity to use this lean, rapid QI strategy to improve clinical practices for their adolescent patients related to sexual health, risk assessment, chlamydia screening, and confidential medical record documentation. And our SMART objective was to achieve a minimum 10% improvement in each target metric within 3 months after the event. So I'm going to use the next few slides quickly to walk you through the Kaizen activities during each day to give you a sense of what the week looked like. On day one, after a brief QI orientation, the clinic QI team observed teen patient visits from the moment the teen registered until they left the clinic. documenting each step in the patient flow, including the touch times and the wait times in between. On day two, we provided a four-hour all-staff training on adolescent sexual risk assessment and chlamydia clinical best practices, as well as lean QI methodology, and the administration actually closed the clinic for those 4 hours to allow all the staff to attend. Supplemental training was provided to the clinicians on how to take a HEDS assessment. The pediatricians will know what a HEDS assessment is for the rest of you all. HEDS is a mnemonic tool and a best practice for risk assessment with adolescent patients that guides the provider through key topics of discussion, gradually moving from less to more sensitive topics in a process that's meant to build rapport and trust between the provider and the patient, hopefully resulting in a more insightful and honest interaction. You recognize this? Also on day two, we worked with the clinic's QI team to map out their clinic flow visually using a process that you see here called a value stream map. You're all going to know what this is now. This is a photo of their actual map, and as Gail explained, each of the large yellow sticky notes represents a major step in the patient flow process and includes the length of time for each step and the wait times in between. Once this mapping process was complete, all of the clinic staff were given opportunities to cycle by it all throughout the rest of the week and identify on the map places where they observed clinical gaps and redundancies, and then ideas for potential solutions, so really getting that input from the frontline staff. And these are all the small sticky note stars that you see in the photo. And then on day three, the clinic team used this impact matrix to prioritize intervention ideas, ranking each idea based on its level of expected impact on the aim statement and the level of difficulty to achieve the intervention. And this process was used to determine which interventions to prioritize and test first. This is where the team decided to focus on well check visits for this QI project. We actually came back about 4 months later and did a little booster session for other types of visits, which I won't be talking about today. On days three through five is when the real fun began, and this is when the team started their rapid PDSA QI cycles. PDSA stands for Plan, Do, Study, Act, where you identify a gap and plan an intervention to address it. You implement or do that intervention. You study to see if it works, and then you take action based on those results, either adopting the intervention, adjusting it to test again, or abandoning it. So the Kaizen QI methodology utilizes the rapid testing of many small changes often performed in parallel over the course of a few days. And for our event, each PDSA was performed for about half a day, usually on about 3 to 5 patients. And the QI team huddled twice daily to discuss the PDSA findings and decide whether to continue to implement the change or adjust or abandon it. And we use a standard tool to define and document each PDSA intervention and its results. And you see the example tool there. Our state support team also created best practice guides and sample scripts for clinic staff to help guide the standardized implementation of any newly adopted clinic protocol changes. And we additionally developed tools and templates and letters and things for the clinic QI team as needs were identified by them. On the last day of the onsite, the clinic's QI team created a report back presentation for the rest of the clinic staff and the CRMC hospital administrators. And after the event, we facilitated a 30, a 60, and a 90-day follow-up call remotely to check in with the clinic QI team on their progress. So to measure the impact of the Kaizen event, patient data was abstracted from the CRMC electronic health records for all of the clinic's well-check patients, both females and males. That was a priority of the clinic to look at both, ages 12 to 19 years old. We pulled baseline data from 1 year before the Kaizen event and compared these to data from the 10 weeks after. Data are abstracted in two ways. An auto report pulled utilization data for eligible patients to determine sexual activity status, including over 200 service codes, as well as data from a standardized sexual activity checkbox. And the report also pulled timestamp data, noting the registration and checkout times for each visit. Our team also manually abstracted data from clinician notes and risk behavior questionnaires starting at each visit date and also looking back 12 months earlier. And from these data, we calculated our outcome measures, which were the percent of visits with annual standardized sexual activity status documentation, that is the use of the checkbox, percent of annual HEDS assessment, annual and same-day chlamydia screening rates among sexually active patients, And as a balancing measure to look at potential negative practice impacts, we calculated the average well check visit length in minutes, comparing the time periods before, during, and after the on-site event. And statistical significance of results was determined using two-tailed Fisher's exact test. So the percent of visits with annual sexual activity status documented anywhere in any way in the chart was very high, both before and after the on-site. But use of the standardized status documentation increased from 6 to 58%, and use of HEDS increased from 37 to 70%. And interestingly, the proportion of adolescent well-check patients who were identified by the clinician as being sexually active also increased from 18% to 28% post-intervention. And our hypothesis is that this may be a result of the more comprehensive and trust-building HEDS assessment process that greatly increased after the Kaizen. All of these results were statistically significant. Annual chlamydia screening among sexually active patients increased from 28 to 57%, and same-day chlamydia screening increased from 16 to 43%. Both of these results was a greater than 100% increase, and both were statistically significant. The average visit length for adolescent well checks increased during the on-site, but returned to baseline levels during the 6 weeks after. So that was our balancing measure we were concerned about. We also collected data from all clinic staff and two electronic surveys administered before and after the event, and the survey questions assessed the staff's knowledge, clinical behavior, and comfort related to the provision of adolescent sexual health services. And as a balancing measure, we also asked staff about their satisfaction around these newly instituted clinic process changes and the week-long QI event. Mean percent changes in scores were calculated across all questions in each of the four categories, and statistical significance was determined by Mr. Fisher again. Staff were required by the clinic administration to complete the surveys. 51 staff took the baseline survey and 54 took the follow-up survey with similar numbers in each of the two categories, in each staff category. The survey demonstrated improvements in staff knowledge, clinical behavior, comfort, and confidence related to adolescent sexual health best practices, and improvements in each category were statistically significant. 84% of staff, including the majority of staff across all staff categories, thought the clinic protocol changes from the Kaizen event improved clinic's care for their adolescent patients, while either improving their clinic flow efficiencies or not affecting their workload at all. And so, limitations. Our greatest limitation to these findings is that this is a case study of one clinic. And so, of course, the results may not be generalizable to all clinic settings. Also, it's currently unknown how the increase in chlamydia screening rates affected case finding, and we're working with the CRMC folks to get those data now. And it must be said that this is a labor-intensive intervention, and the time invested required to implement this effort was not insignificant, and so we're really going to need to determine prioritization strategies in order to feasibly institute spread to multiple other clinical settings. The big conclusions and implications are that rapid QI intervention support can be a very successful strategy for engaging primary care settings in effective chlamydia screening QI efforts. And additionally, it appears that using HEDS risk assessment methodology may possibly increase identification of sexually active youth, thereby allowing clinicians to implement a number of vital sexual health care services other than just chlamydia screening. Public health's role in improving preventive health services among our at-risk population is unique and strategic, and there are many opportunities, some that I've listed here, that we can tap into to advance public health engagement with the healthcare sector, even the primary care sector. However, public health still has gaps in our capacity to expertly facilitate and support clinical QI, and there are significant professional development training needs in our workforce, which conveniently brings me to my plug for the new Adolescent Sexual Health QI Fellowship Training Program that's being designed for public health STD program and PTC professionals, and that we're developing at the California PTC's National QI Training Center. It starts in November. It's free, and there are limited spaces, so come talk to me after or contact Lindsay Klepp if you want more information. And as always, good work takes a village, and I'd like to thank my California Department of Public Health colleagues, especially Laura Kowaleski, who's sitting right there. She's our evaluation lead on this effort. She designed many of these analyses and, in fact, created many of these slides. I'd also like to thank our PTC partners and QI training partners, our clinical partners at the Fresno CRMC Children's Health Clinic, and CDC DSTDP for funding these efforts and evaluation.
comments do you have?
Hi, Greg Zimmer from Indiana, again. This is relevant both to your presentation and Gail's, I mean, really incredibly impressive work. But as you both have mentioned, very labor intensive. Do you have any ideas about, you know, are there particular elements of this, because it's such a multimodal complex intervention, mm-hmm. Do you have some ideas about either what elements might be most effective or ways to identify that to try to streamline this even more so it could be disseminated more widely?
Great question. As part of our evaluation, one of our very first evaluation question is how do you successfully engage the primary care setting? So there's a lot of research that we've done around that piece, and we've done focus groups, for example, with the different administrators and clinical staff at different levels that we worked with and asked them which parts of this really are the parts that work for them, which parts engage them. So on that part, the engagement part, the MOC credit from AAP was key. For them, they said having the health department send a team down to support this for the week was key, because if we just taught them how to do it and then left them to do it on their own and didn't actually just kind of facilitate it happening, they weren't sure it was going to happen as well. And it happens to them a lot where they're asked to do a QI project and then left to do it on their own. They also, the data, using the data to show the high rates in their area, and then the administrators ran data to show, oh my gosh, our chlamydia rates are kind of off the charts low. That engaged the administrators. So for the engagement piece, those were the pieces. There's a lot of startup costs and time, because we had to get the KEDA system set up with AAP. We had to set up our MOC application. There's a lot. We had to learn a lot. but now that we've learned all that, now that we have that set up, it's really this week, intensive week. There's some planning, there's some follow-up, but it's just this one intensive week. And we're hoping to bring the QI facilitation expertise in-house, so we don't have to pay for someone to come from outside. So I don't know if I exactly answered your question. I think the way we're going to handle this is this is a huge clinic serving a really, it's a huge safety net clinic, and it also trained all the residents as well. I mean, they all have these QI requirements too, so they got really engaged in this process, and they're so earnest, and and so those folks are going to have this best practice as they go out into the world. So it's kind of like the bang for the buck that we put into that one clinic, but then maybe the spread just from the residents, we're hoping. So we're kind of looking for opportunities like that, high priority areas where we can put some intensity in, but you're going to get a big impact and big bang for your buck. So that's kind of how we're approaching the focus.
Thank you.
Thanks. Oh, you're getting...
Yeah, thank you so much for that presentation, and I'm struck just what a capacity building types of interventions that both in New York and in California as well. So I just wanted to hear you reflect a little bit on to what extent, you know, where the PDSA cycles, doing rapid cycle tests, data-driven decision making, was really new information or not, and if you have any plans to, you know, measure, you know, as you say, the capacity, or you know, what other interventions might be done using a similar format in these clinics, if you'll measure, what, even if it's not related exactly to sexual health, other consequences mm-hmm. of this intervention. Mm-hmm.
Maybe 1 minute.
Okay, I'll be really fast. What I think was unique about this project also was that it used a whole team approach. So this wasn't just the residents, this wasn't just the clinicians, this was the whole team engaging in this process, and most of the team, the staff, had not done any kind of clinical QI like this, didn't know what a PDSA cycle was, never had mapped out and looked at their clinic process visually to see, wow, like, okay, these are redundancies, we're doing this here and we're doing it again here, and then everybody goes back and has to wait in their waiting room again, and then because we did it like that, the everyone was bought into sort of the changes, and they came up with their own ways that they could improve their efficiencies, and so it really used, I think, the the different parts of the team a lot more. So there was a lot of capacity building, and they're kind of hooked on it now. Like, they had us come back 5 months later to do a one-day QI intervention because they had all this backstory already. We just put the map back up, we then focused on the outside the well check visits, the follow-up visits and the drop-in visits and things like that. So it's much faster. They want us to come back for another one day to do partner treatment, EPT. So, I don't know if they're now using this terminology or just the concepts when they're talking and just thinking about, wow, we're doing it this way, why are we doing this way? Let's test, because it's a half-day testing. And it's easier for people to stomach, like, testing something for half a day. And then if it works, they just kind of keep doing it, and maybe they tweak it. So I think it was a huge capacity-building opportunity, and they will continue to use it, and they are. Yeah.
Thanks. Thank you.